You're listening to another life-transforming message from Awakened Church with campuses in San Diego and Salt Lake City. To find out more about us, go to awakenedchurch.com.
So here's what's been happening in the world. At the beginning of the year, I preached a message on living free from the spirit of fear. This was pre-COVID-19. This was pre the craziness that shut our world down. It was like God was preparing our church for what was about to come. And I want to just encourage you, and I want to say I'm so proud of you. You fearless people, good for you. Great people of faith stand in front of me or sit in front of me today. But then there was another spirit that the enemy poured out like poison across our earth, and that was the spirit of offense. Is it not like the devil to get everybody afraid, everybody isolated, and then throw in the Molotov cocktail of offense? But Jesus told us it was going to be this way. That's why we have to have our guard up, be sober, be vigilant, the Bible says in the book of Peter, for your adversary, you have an enemy, he doesn't like you because you look like your father. The devil roams around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So we're going to uncover some of his tricks today. You don't need to live in the dark because Jesus told us what would happen. All right? Let's turn to the Bible, to the book of Matthew, chapter number 24, verse number 5. For those of you who haven't met me, I am Pastor Leanne Matesius. My husband and I are the lead pastors of this church. Yes. Very blessed people we are. He's away. I'm his wife. I'm bringing the word. If you haven't heard me before, don't worry. You're going to like it. Okay, it's all right. Women can preach, even with splits in their dresses, just to be extra offensive. I wore this. All right. Since I'm talking about offense, I thought I might just like go there. Okay. Matthew 24, verse 5. This is Jesus speaking. For many will come in my name. Uh-oh. All right, write that down. Saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. How beautiful is Jesus. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. We're not in the end times. Relax. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of 2020. You shouldn't laugh at your own jokes. Sorry. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And I shouldn't say that smiling, sorry. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake, which is terrible because I hate being hated. And then listen to this. This is basically where we're going to distill it down to today. And then many will be offended. Okay. So straight away, I want to remove any shred of condemnation from this room, because the Bible says, and many will be offended. Right. Do you know what that tells me? We're all vulnerable to offense. Do you know why? Because we live in a really offensive world. Humans are going to human. And it really, really hurts sometimes when they do. Jesus says, many will be offended. So if you're in church today and you're shocked that you're offended, don't be. Jesus said many are going to be vulnerable to this attack of the enemy, this signature move of the devil. And then he goes on to reveal a progression. Many will be offended and they will betray one another. Doesn't that hurt? And they will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. What does this tell us? That an offended heart that doesn't deal with offense rightly by processing it with God will be vulnerable to deception. Wow. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he, talking about you guys now, he or she, who endures to the end shall be saved. You know what? We're going to be smarter than the devil, because Jesus right here is revealing his game plan. And the message I'm bringing to you today is a really simple one: living free from the weight of offense. Wow, amazing. And I want to say this because you matter. You matter to God, and your destiny is too great, and the call and assignment on your life is too important for you to be taken out by something as little as offense. Don't let the devil make a fool of you. So here's what we're going to do. we're going to go through a little bit of a checklist. And I wrote this checklist because it's a checklist that I've had to use in my own life because just like you, I am human too. And if you hang around Awakened Church long enough, you'll figure it out real quick. I too get offended and I need to present my offenses to God and ask myself some very sobering, confronting questions. Have I let the weight of offense come on my back and is it affecting my life and affecting my relationship? So we're going to go through a little checklist. But I want to start by saying this. Why do you think that the devil is so intent on getting people divided and offended? What's his end game? Well, here's the thing about the devil. He probably knows the Bible better than most Christians. And that's a sad fact. It's actually a statistic now. Somebody wrote it down and made it official that Christians, 1 out of 5 Christians reads their Bible. That's sad. No wonder we can't defend our faith when somebody questions it. We don't know the Bible. We're not reading it. So if I can leave you with anything today, read your Bible. Get a hold of one of those one-year Bibles and let the good word get in you. So the devil knows that in Psalm 133, it says, how good and how pleasant it is when brothers and sisters, we're not getting out of it, sisters. Yeah, they're not even in there. I'm adding sisters in there because how many people know the sisters need to get this too? Sometimes we're the worst. Brothers and sisters dwell in unity. He reads that and he's like, oh, then what can I do? If it's a good and pleasant environment, people like good and pleasant environments. They might come and they might get saved. So I'm going to have to do something about that. I know what I'll do. I'll create a pandemic. And I'll get them all afraid and then I'll get them all isolated and then I'll throw in my sneak attack, the spirit of offense, kablam. Sometimes you gotta preach a bit extra in church. Yes, you do. My plan is to offend you a little bit. So if you didn't get offended, you got something to process the Lord with, all right? You're picking up what I'm putting down, all right? 7 ways to tell if you have taken offense and what to do about it. First one, everything about them triggers you. That person who offended you could literally cure cancer. And you'd still be bitter and have your knickers in a twist about them. And they could walk past in the most fancy pair of shoes. I mean, looking fly, looking fabulous. And you look at them like, yeah. Clearly, they have no idea that those shoes were made in a sweatshop. How many kids had to die for him to get those shoes, the jerk? Or you're sitting in church and the preacher's preaching, but you're sitting back because you got an offense. Not hearing anything he's saying, not letting the good word hit your heart because you're offended. Because you're offended. Everything about them triggers you. You may walk into a room and there they are, and immediately, this is a sign, you feel yourself prickle. Or you hear somebody talk about them and they may be saying something pleasant, but because you're offended, you have to remind everybody in that circle why they ain't all that. Wow. Or do you know what's a big telltale sign for me to tell if I'm offended? Is I'll go on Instagram and I'll be scrolling and I can't like their photo. And I'll feel the Lord say, ah, now I gotcha. Why can't you like that? It doesn't matter how good their coffee foam design is. Doesn't matter how cute their puppy is. And I love puppies. It doesn't matter how epic their selfie is, how much they filtered that bad boy. I cannot like that photo. And I'll feel the Lord say, it's because you're triggered because you're offended. Let's take a minute. We did communion earlier and, you know, that is a very sacred time, but I want you to understand the sacredness of that moment. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, if you take communion and you have an offense in your heart against your brother, you got something in there and you take it casually and cavalierly, it's like you're drinking a curse upon yourself. and many have gotten sick, and some have even fallen asleep. What you carry in your heart and on your back and in your life matters. It affects you. Why would I preach about this? Because I care about you. I want you to live free. I want you to enjoy the life that God's given you and not be encumbered with something that God did not intend for you to carry. Does their very presence trigger you? Then is it time to just get real before the Lord and examine your heart and your life and be like King David? Oh God, search me. Know me. Why can't I like their photo? What the heck is wrong with me? See that there be no wicked way within me and lead me in life everlasting. Point number one, everything about them triggers you. If that's true, maybe, just maybe, you're carrying an offense. You know what I found during COVID too, is they talked about the COVID-19, like the 19 pounds that people inevitably put on as they were watching movies and eating themselves into oblivion every day. 19 pounds. I'd be, 19 would be great. But, you know, many pounds later. However, many of us picked up weight in COVID, but it wasn't physical weight. It was emotional weight. And how crafty is the devil, really, to pit brother against brother and get us turned inside out in hating one another. So maybe you got that offense on your back. The second point in the Am I Offended checklist, you have now become offensive. The offended will inevitably become the offendee. Offended people, if they do not submit to God, end up becoming offensive too. We end up becoming the very thing that we despise in other people. Now, let me just make you feel better by telling you something very transparent about myself. It was not too long ago I put up an Instagram post, and most of my Instagram posts have got a level of controversy in them. It's a gift I have. And somebody got offended and they let their offense be known. Now, if I was a normal Christian person, I'd just be like, just fine. Somebody has a contrary view. It's okay. But I was just having one of those days where it just feels so good to troll a troll, doesn't it? Oh, feels so good. 20 comments back and forth later. I was in hook, line and sinker. Then a couple of days later, I'm going back over my post and I'm reading it and I'm looking at it. And I'm like, who's the troll now? I am the troll. I have become the troll. That's why Jesus said, be careful, you who judge and point out the speck in the eye of your brother, because you've got a dirty, great, big redwood sticking out of your own eyeball. First deal with the log in your own eye, and then you will see clearly. But if you're offended and you don't deal with your offense rightly, by coming to God, you end up being the perpetrator of the crime that you hated so much. You might deploy those passive-aggressive behaviors that us girls, we got that down to an art. I am not going to say a word. No, you're saying everything. You're saying it all. You're slamming the door. You're walking in and you're giving the silent treatment and you're swinging those hips and you're clucking that tongue and you're staring him down. I didn't say a thing. On the contrary, my friend, you said everything. You said it all. And now, actually, this is a good point to let you know something about my husband. He thinks everybody loves him. So if you're turning yourself out, inside out, trying to get my husband through passive-aggressive behaviors or putting like covert Facebook posts that are directed at him, he's going to read it and absolutely think you mean somebody else. He thinks everybody loves him. He's shocked. Why, they're leaving the church? Well, why? Babe, they hate you and they did a 5-page Facebook post telling the whole world why. What? I thought we were best friends. I don't understand. So it's a beautiful thing. I'm married to a wonderfully unique man. He is not going to pick up what you're putting down. He thinks you love him. So you might as well love him because he thinks you love him. But we've become offensive in trying to deal with offense. That's why Romans 12:21 said, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. See, and you thought you weren't a superhero. You're an evil overcomer. Point number three, all the offended people come to you. How do you know if you're carrying offense and it's reached its expiration date? We're all going to be offended. Many will be offended. But has that offensive moment become an offense that you're carrying way, 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 way longer than you're meant to and you haven't processed it with the Lord? One way to tell is all the offended people come to you. You're like a homing pigeon for the offended. You know how they say birds of a feather flock together and they're like, grr, 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 this or that, grr, grr. And before you know it, you're all having lunch together and all the offended pigeons are having lunch and they're sharing their stories and then posting about it on Instagram. They're, why are all the offended people having lunch together? And at that point, you have to ask yourself the question, what's in me that everybody else thinks I'm a safe place for them to vent their offenses? Could maybe what's on them somehow be on the inside of me? And again, do I need to do an inventory and say, Lord, what is it in me that's attracting people who are also offended? Is it time for me to deal with my offense? This is how we're to deal with offense because, again, offenses must come, Jesus said. We will be offended. In Matthew 18, it says this, if another believer sins against you, go privately. Don't shout it from the rooftops. Don't deploy passive-aggressive behaviors and speak about it on Facebook or Instagram. Don't go to that friend that you know is going to tell you everything you want to hear instead of what you need to hear. Go to them privately. And I love that. Pick up the phone, write the email, have the conversation. If you can't just shake it off and be gracious in the moment, if it really lingers, go to them privately. You hurt me. I'm not sure if you meant it or if it was intentional, but you hurt me. And our relationship is too important for it to be divided over something like this. Then the Bible says, if the other person listens and confesses it, you've won them back. And shouldn't that always be the goal as brothers and sisters in Christ, reconciliation? Sometimes I think we feel so superior when we get offended because we have something. Now I'm the overlord and I have an offense against you and it can be the reason that I walk into a room and ignore you because you offended me. And you hold it over their head like a ledger. And you draw other people to yourself who have the same offense. And you're guilty in God's eyes. What does the Bible tell us in the book of Proverbs? It says there are six things the Lord hates. Yay, seven are an abomination to him. And that seventh one that he doesn't just hate but calls abominable is one who sows up discord amongst the brethren. One who's continually stirring up a cauldron of crap in the church. Don't let that be you. Don't let that be you. Don't be partner with the devil. The devil's, he's brilliant at division. He doesn't need any help. He doesn't need any associates. Instead, be for God. Instead, be for what God is for. Instead, build what God said he was going to build, the church. I am building my church. Do not tear down with your hands what God said I am building. Wow. All the offended people come to you. Point number four on the are you carrying an offense checklist. You're lonely. You're lonely. And this is one of those really sad things for a pastor to see. You can see someone who, because of the offenses that they've carried and not released to God, has actually built a fence around their life. And it's keeping people out. It's stopping them from enjoying relationships. And sometimes they're oblivious and they don't know. And they say things like, I don't have any friends and I want friends and I'm lonely, but they don't realize they've got a fence around their life that says attack dog or enter at own risk.
I don't know why I don't have any friends, screamed the dragon.
Well, maybe if you didn't incinerate everybody who has a different point of view or says something you don't like, you got to be gracious. You know what I've realized in life? Not everybody's going to think how you think, believe what you believe, act how you act, nor are they going to have the same upbringing you had. Therefore, they won't have the same experiences and the same perspective. So let me give you an example. There was one time I was standing with a group of friends, and one of them made a really, what I felt, cavalier, casual comment about drug addiction. And I was immediately like I felt stabbed in the front, which is better than being stabbed in the back. And I was immediately offended. And I said to the Lord in my head, how dare they? They know my story. They know the 10-year journey I went through with my eldest son through drug addiction, and yet they speak so casually and cavalierly about something that hurt me so deeply. I'm offended. And I got to tell you, I liked it for a little bit. I liked having that thing. I'm sorry, I'm being honest today. I'm always honest. You're my kidding me. And I had it, and I'm like, I'm going to go home and I'm going to write them a letter. Because you want to be that person that just has a comeback in the moment, right? But then you go home and you're like, oh, I should have said, I would have. And so I was going home, I was formulating my retort. And I was going to tell them what time it is. How dare you? And I felt the Lord come in because, again, God is not afraid of our mess. And he still loves us. Because he said, I'm acquainted with all your ways. Isn't that beautiful? The good ways and the bad, and he still loves us. And he came in the middle of my rage and rant and offendedness. And he said, Leanne, stop. Stop it. But God, that hurt me. How could they be so cavalier and casual? Don't they know how I feel? He said, you know what? No. Clearly, they don't know what it feels like. How could they know what it feels like? And you're judging someone else because of your experiences, but you're placing judgment on them because they don't understand how you feel. How could they know? And he said, and can I take it a little step further? As a mature Christian, you shouldn't want them to know. You shouldn't want them to know what it's like to walk a mile in your shoes. Is it enough that you felt it, you experienced, you can love others who have been through the same thing? I saw it, but you can have grace over those who may not understand the pain you went through, may not have the scars you've had, maybe not walked the miles that you have walked. But we live in a world that is so obsessed with everybody understanding how we feel. Can it ever be enough that God knows? I see, I know that hurt you, but they didn't mean it to hurt you like it hurt you. You don't need to go be some kind of vigilante and get your own justice.
And write them a letter and tell you how insensitive.
Let it go. If I don't learn to be gracious, I'm going to be lonely because people are offensive. They say terrible things. Most of them they don't mean. You know what I've realized? Most people aren't on purpose offensive. There are some jerks that are. And we got to forgive them too. But most people are just thoughtless. They're just thoughtless. I wasn't thinking. I didn't know that was your yes, amen. Out of the mouths of babes, he has ordained his praise. Thank you. Just thought, but if we could be gracious. The Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs, a wise person is slow to anger. And if I could say anything to America right now, it would be slow to anger. Hold your peace, America. Hold your peace. Take a minute, breathe, look to the heavens. Your grace is sufficient for me, Lord. But maybe you're lonely today because you've put that fence around your life because you're just so gosh darn sensitive and people are afraid of you.
Because I don't know what to say, I don't know what to do, I don't know who to be.
So it's just easier to avoid you. And God wants so much more for you. Maybe you're lonely today. Point number 5, your offenses are being echoed in your children. They hate what you hate, and it's not in a good way. What you talk about around the dinner table, in earshot of those little ones that God has called you to protect, matters.
But I want to prepare them, I want to live.
Life will prepare them. You know what you need to do? Be the counsel that says there, you were hurt, you were wounded. All right, this is what Jesus says, we forgive. What happened to you was not right, was not fair, was not just, but our response as believers is we forgive. Father, I release this to you. I remember as a 12-year-old girl going to school in the sixth grade, and my teacher, Mr. Evans, for whatever reason, was just unkind to me. I just was getting persecuted. And honestly, if I'm real honest with you, I think God allows it every now and then to mature us. But sometimes we don't pass the test. But don't worry, you'll get another one. And I came home to my mom and I was like, Mr. Evans, mean to me, bullying me, singling me out. I feel persecuted. And of course, my mom was like, there, comforted me. She's a beautiful woman of God.
I said, well, Mom, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do? Get your big stick and your big shoes and go down there and take care of some business.
And she said, Leanne, I could go down there, tear him a new one, read him the Riot Act, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to teach you a lesson, and that is we're going to go through life that are people with and experience people who are not going to treat us fairly and not be kind. And not be just, and who are going to say mean things. And you have to learn the lesson to be able to thrive and survive in spite of it. You're going to be all right. You're going to be all right. You know what? I was. And then flash forward 8 years, I'm in ministry as a 20-year-old young mum, and I was faced with a very similar situation with a woman in ministry who wanted to destroy me. And it hurts so much more in church when we get hurt and offended, doesn't it? Because our expectations are higher. And they should be, because they're believers. But we get hurt all the same. And again, I remember picking up the phone to call my mom and saying, Mom, I'm hurt. I feel persecuted. I don't want to be here. I want to run away. I feel rejected. I feel overlooked. And I remember being on the phone to her. And initially, her response again was, this is unjust. This is unfair. Her little girl who was an ocean away on her own at 20 years of age with a little baby was in ministry. She was being persecuted. Her husband was busy and out of town, and she wanted to rescue me in that moment. And then we hung up the phone, and it wasn't but 5 minutes later, my mum called again and she said, Leanne, I've been praying and I felt the Lord want me to tell you, you need to stay put. He's with you. Everything's going to be okay. It'll be all right. It's okay. You don't need to get vengeance for yourself. You don't need to defend yourself. God is your defender. I wonder what your kids are echoing. I'm going to say thanks, Mum, all the way over there in Australia. Thanks, Mum. You know, my mother's advice and her counsel and the way she chose to operate in our house and teach her children meant that after 29 years of ministry, I stand here and I can honestly before God tell you I have not an offense in my heart toward anyone, and I love everybody. I love everybody. I love them. I truly and honestly, I love everybody. Because I process with God. I process rightly because my mother taught me. What did your mother teach you, or what are you teaching your children today about how to deal with offense? Is it rehearsed at the table? Because I'm telling you, you don't want a harvest of the seeds you're sowing. Oh, you're sitting around the dinner table and, oh, did you hear that, Pastor? Pastor Jürgen. Again, he doesn't know you don't like him. He thinks you love him. Oh, that. And you're carving up the pastor like, a roast turkey every Sunday, feeding it to your kids or the church, and then you're shocked and baffled when your kids don't want to go to church anymore. When they say things like, I don't believe in God, I don't like church, and I think Christians are a bunch of jerks. And then you call in that same church you disparaged for 20 years around the kitchen table, will you help me with my young people? Well, yes, we will, but gosh, make it easier on us. If you're carving the pastor up like a turkey every Sunday lunch after the sermon, he's gonna think the pastor is a turkey. Your offenses are being echoed in your children. Read this famous story about the Hatfields and the McCoys in American history. Two ranchers from Virginia. Feuding. He stole my bull. I'm gonna hate him forever. I'm gonna make my kids hate him. My grandkids hate him. And my great-great-grandkids hate him. And that's exactly what happened. Flash forward a couple of generations and the Hatfields still hate the McCoys. Oh, come on, America. It's time to forgive. It's time to come to the Lord and process our offenses rightly. Is there not a cause? If not for you, for the generation that comes after you, do not cripple them with the same weight that has burdened you. Paul said, he said, you're offended, you're hurt with one another, and it will trouble you. Who does it trouble when you've got an offense that you don't deal with this way? Troubles you, troubles your children after you. How we got the time there? Good. Point number 6 on the Am I Carrying an Offense checklist is you're not praying. You're not praying.
Well, that's a bolt. How dare you? I'm offended during the offense message. I am offended.
Well, it's obvious, because how can you be talking to him and not talking to me? How can you love God who you can't see, John said it, but hate your brother who you can see? I'm sorry. When you're carrying an offense, when you've let the offense linger long, and now remember the Bible says in the book of Ephesians, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. So basically, God is saying there is an expiration date on your offense. You get till the sun goes down. Till then, you can call him a name, you can kick the dog. Don't kick the dog. Kick the cat, all right. But then when you see the sun going down, it is your heavenly reminder from your Abba Father, who loves you, by the way. Oh, the one who the Lord chastens and disciplines is the one he loves. When you see that sun go down, it's your daddy God reminding you, all right, it's enough now. It's enough now. I let you have a minute. Like any good husband, you'll sit there for about half an hour. She said, what? Wow. But then he'll go, okay, what are we going to do with this? Because you can't stay with your knickers in a twist forever. Very uncomfortable. Very, very uncomfortable. You're not praying. My gosh, because when you get into that prayer closet and the presence of God is there and you're coming in and you've got all your stuff, and we always have our stuff. This person hurt me. They said this about me. They did this. I was wounded. And we bring it to God. And I see it this way. It's like we have a sifter. I call it the prayer sifter. And we go into our prayer closet and we're angry. Sun hasn't gone down yet. We're still flipping angry, those flipping Hatfields. And we're gonna pop in, this person said this about me, and my husband was unkind, and my wife didn't have sex with me, even though I gave her so many passive aggressive ways of letting her know that I felt neglected. She didn't pick up my signs. She's not looking for them, FYI. And then I put in this offense I have with my boss, somebody else got the promotion, and this one with a co-worker, somebody took my idea, and it was my idea, and they got praised for it. Pop that in there. Pastor Jürgen did this. I know he doesn't know, but he still did it. And you put it in the sifter, and you sieve it out. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give me this day my daily bread and forgive me my sins as I forgive those who've sinned against me. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. It's empty. I talk, but then I listen. So I got my laminated prayer list, all the things I want God to do. But then I wait. And the first thing he says is, you've got an offense in your heart toward this one. Remember when you were scrolling through Instagram and you couldn't like their photo? I know. It's time to deal with it. The book of Mark tells us, when you pray, whenever you stand praying, if you find, means you've got to take a minute to go into that prayer closet and look for it. If you find that you're carrying something in your heart against another person, release him, release her, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven will also release you and forgive you of your faults. Release them. This message is definitely a to-go message. We're going to take it home and we're going to go in that prayer closet and we're going to pray. And if we find anything in our heart, release them. Father, I thank you that when I came to you with my sins, even though they were red as scarlet, you washed me white as snow. I thank you that I am the recipient of your mercy. And far be it from me to not extend that mercy to those who have hurt me. I release it to you. I release it to you. I release it to you. I love this scripture. 1 Peter 2:23. I want you to write it down. This is Jesus. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God. I know that I'm talking to people today who have been bitterly wounded, who have been very hurt, very disappointed, very attacked, very broken. But this same principle applies to the little things and the big things. I leave my case in your hands, God, because you always judge fairly. And I feel like a lot of us, we don't want to do that because we want people to be held to account for what they did. We want to receive mercy. Oh, when I sin, when I offend, give me that mercy. Give me that mercy. But when you do it, I want justice. Give me justice. 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 And we hear about it in the book of Matthew. Jesus telling a parable. He tells the story of a person like me who was forgiven a great debt they could not repay. And they come to the benevolent Father whose mercies are new every morning. And he says, I forgive you completely of your debt. That same person who probably went to church and have a what would Jesus do wristband and a fish on their car, went to their brother who owed them a debt and said, you better pay me everything you owe me. And that same person cried out for mercy. And instead of extending the mercy that he himself was given, instead he said, I want justice. And he threw him into prison. But you know what? God was watching. And the angels. And the angels are a bunch of tattletales. The angels ran up, the Bible says, and they said, did you see what your servant did? The one whom you forgave the great debt. He went out straight away when somebody owed him something and he would not extend that same mercy. We got to be so much better. Have you forgotten what you've been forgiven of today? Because if you remember what you've said, what you've done, how you've been thoughtless, how you've been careless, how you haven't understood someone's feelings correctly and maybe hurt their feelings, and you've wanted mercy, and you've wanted people to believe the best about you, but given the same opportunity, you can't wait to extract from somebody what they owe. The Bible says, they will know the world that we are His kids by our love for one another. And what really is the cry of an offended person's heart? I'm hurt and I deserve to be honored. I shouldn't be treated this way. I am valuable and they made me feel not valuable, and that's not okay. And you're right, it's not. But can I give you a really great tip that's helped me over 45 years of life? You got to get your value and your affirmation from here, and then you won't need people to affirm you so much out there. See, a lot of us get offended because we're not praying, we can't forgive. And when we don't forgive, we aren't forgiven, and we're tossed in the same jail that we'd prepared for our mate that sinned against us. Then we're in there with tormentors, and so you're wondering why you got no peace and you can't sleep at night and all that. Maybe it's a sign. But I remember being in Australia and being very, very wounded. Somebody said something so cutting and spiteful and on purpose unkind, and it hit me. And I couldn't wait to go home, because even though it hurt, it was just a flesh wound. It wasn't going to be fatal, because I knew my sense of value and worth was never in your hands. You never got to decide if my life mattered. You never got to decide how valuable I actually was. I was always meant to hear those words from my father. When you say it, it's nice, but it's not going to change my life. When he says it, my gosh. Are you drinking from the wrong stream today? Are you offended because you're drinking from the wrong stream? Jesus encounters a woman by a well. She'd had a whole bunch of husbands looking for love in all the wrong places. And then she encounters a gentleman caller of a different kind around a well. And she's been thirsty her whole life, thirsty for love, thirsty for affirmation. And she'd found herself in different bed after different bed. And then Jesus said, sweetie, you've just been drinking from the wrong stream. And many of us are so sensitive to offense today because we've been drinking from the wrong stream. And when I was hurt, I went home and I went into my hotel room and I just lifted my hands and I said, oh God, minister to me. I know you love me because you tell me that every day. And even though it hurts when men don't love me like they should, I know you do, and I'm going to let you fill my love tank. And that's one of the reasons, after as many years in ministry, that I'm still in ministry, and I still love people, and I'm not sitting up the back there like a bitter pastor's wife, swirling my coffee like a witch's brew, scowling at the parishioners because you ruined my life. I'm sorry, it's the last service. I know I'm a bit extra. I'm not normally this way. But I want to say that's why, and what God has done for me, He wants to do for you. You are too important. The legacy on your, the anointing on your life, the legacy that you are to pass on to your children, is so important for you to get taken out by a spirit of offense. I'd love it if you'd stand to your feet. We're going to close with a prayer. We're going to take a moment of self-reflection. Where have I been offended and not processed it rightly with God? And as a result, offense has crept into my heart. And now I'm seeing myself in all of Pastor Leanne's points. So I just want you to lift your hands and just take a minute with God. Just take a minute. Take a minute to search your heart. Like King David did. Oh God, search me and know me. Let him in. What did they say? It doesn't mean it didn't matter or it wasn't hurtful or that you're not valuable. It just means that God wants to set you free. Do you realize that you hold the key to your own prison door? You can be set free today. And then it won't matter how offensive the world is because you know what you're worth because your daddy told you. And you come to Him and you surrender. Oh God, I release them. I'm not just going to lift my hands in worship and sing songs in church. I'm going to live the word that I read. I'm going to live the songs that I sing. I'm telling you, if you apply God's words to your life, they'll change you forever. And you can live upright in a world that wants to stab God in the heart every day. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. The simplest thing that we often forget sounds so trite. Oh, the pastor's talking on offense. Shocker. Well, the reason we need to is because we get offended so much. Father, bless them. Let them receive from heaven today what man does not say. Let them hear from their daddy God. And Father, we release. Say it, I release, I release. Whisper their name in your head. Just say it, who is it that you need to release today? Release it to God, who always judges fairly. But if I hand it over to God, it'll be as if it didn't matter. Of course it matters. The foundations of his throne are justice and righteousness. God can't help but execute justice, because that's who he is. He founded his throne on justice. But what I've found is mankind, we're terrible at getting justice for ourselves. We can't do it. It's a really tricky substance that can only be handled by God. Just come to him, release it to God. Father, we forgive today. We choose not to take offense. We know that Jesus said many will be offended, and the enemy has worked hard to pit brother against brother, but we're not buying what he is selling. We come to you today. We release it to you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening. To find out more about our locations, team, and what we do here at Awakened Church, go to awakenedchurch.com.